Hey, Timothy, I just want to see Jesus, for he's the one that died for me. The word says that in him we live and move and have our being. In him. There is no other. I almost preached tonight out of somewhere, Luke, I think it was, where Jesus had been doing all of these miracles. John the Baptist is in prison. He sent some of his disciples. He'd heard about these miracles, and he says, you go ask that guy. No disrespect intended. But you go ask him if he's the one. Or should we look for another? Sure enough, they did. They went down there and they asked Jesus. And his response was, you go tell John that you see the dead raised, the blind eyes opened, the deaf to hear, the lame to walk, and the list just keeps on growing. You go tell him. He'll know. I'll tell you something. Skeeter sings a song in Christ alone. I want you to know there's no other name given among men whereby we must, not can be, must be saved. There's only one way to heaven. In spite of political correctness and popular belief, it's through the work on Calvary's tree. The shed blood of Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection. The resurrection. He's alive. We're going to celebrate that here before too long. We ought to be celebrating it every day. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's something coming up that we call Easter. Celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Oh, let me go back over here. Psalms. Psalms 27. You know, as I read the Bible, and let me just throw this out there. I get asked the question a lot of times. How do I study the Bible? Well, you have to ask somebody beside me. No, there's several ways to study the Bible. One, you can read it in book form, just get started at the beginning and read it to the end, which I don't recommend. You'd be like my mama says, you'll be as confused as the termite in a plastic yo-yo. Or you can study it by topics. For example, if you want to study healing, get your concordance and just go study from cover to cover everything the Word has to say about healing. Or if you want to study a character, go study the life of, say, Paul. Or go, I really want to encourage you to do a study of Jesus. But I do want to encourage you, regardless of how you study, you need to be studying the Word of God. I believe there's a scripture in there somewhere that says, I have hid thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. It's absolutely imperative to hide the word of God into your heart so that your faith grows, so that you become strong in the Lord, so that your faith gets to a place that when your Philistine giant comes, you have something to fight with. Just like when Jesus was in the desert being tempted by the devil. Every time, what did he do? He quoted the word. If you don't know the word, how are you going to use the word? So that's my challenge to you tonight. But I love to study. I'm very interested in people like David. One of two men in the Bible referred to as a man after God's own heart. I love to study Peter. Peter reminds me a lot of me in that he was always, in spite of his best intentions, he was always sticking his foot in his mouth and messing up. By the way, if y'all are wondering where Glenda's at, she had some sinus surgery and she's at the house doing real good. Just pray for her. She needs it. God knows she needs it. I mean, the night we get home from the hospital, she's going to go over and sit in a recliner. Missed it that far. I'm talking about recliner that wide, that deep, and she just sit down in the floor. I waited a second to see if there was going to be any blood start coming out, and then I had to laugh. But she's doing way better than any of us expected. She's doing fabulous. Thank you for your prayers, but continue to lift her up in your prayers. Now, Psalm chapter 27, I'm going back to David and studying Peter and people like that, but I want to look at something from David's passages of Scripture tonight that we can glean from that possibly can help us. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. Verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above mine enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me, and do not turn your servant away in anger, for you have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the smooth path because of mine enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of mine adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that thou should see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David starts out with an exuberant declaration of his faith. I want you to notice in verse 1 through 3, we see David's expression of his bravery and his courage. And I want you to know that if you're going to be successful serving the Lord, there's going to have to be a courageous spirit about you. You're going to have to set your jaw. You're going to have to refuse to lose. You're going to have to get a warrior's mentality of fighting the good fight of faith. You're going to have to get something, that spiritual bulldog tenacity to rise up within you that is basically just daring the devil to come on out. Show your face, sucker. Where you at? How many of y'all saw that movie, The Nutty Professor? I like that. Think of going to walk down to the other end of the table and kind of tune old big boy. He said, come on, walk on down. He said, it's a short walk down here, but you're going to limp back. That's the way we got to get with the devil. When he comes, he's going to leave limping because we're going to defeat him with the word of God. But that starts within you, recognizing you have to exercise courage, bravery. You have to be willing to fight. Heard it said one time, I believe it to be true, that where there's no battles, there's no victories. Where there's no victories, there's no praise. Whew. Where there's no test, what? No testimony. We all want the testimony without the test. We all want the victory without the fight. But I'm here, seemingly for the third or fourth week in a row now, to try to prod you down the road and challenge you to rise up, recognizing that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Recognizing that if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, it'll quicken your mortal body. It'll make you be alive. If you're filled with His Spirit, there's a power inside of you that's greater than you. And I want you to know that God chooses ordinary people. God chooses people with limps and that can stutter. Look at Moses. He had a speech impediment. God uses imperfect people in the propagating of the gospel. He uses people to go forth and to conquer and to subdue and to glorify the King of Kings. But all of that has to have a courage and a bravery about it. Then we see in verses 4 through 6 where David is talking about his fellowship with God and the benefits experienced from that. You see, along with the learning of the Word, it's a necessity to hang out with Jesus. It's a necessity to have a prayer time. It may be while you're riding, checking fence. It may be while you're driving that 18-wheeler down the road. Whenever it is, but you've got to have communion time with God, talking to God. And then I was sharing with somebody in my office the other day, we're real good at coming in there telling God what we want, what we need, and oftentimes how we want it, and then we're out the door. I want to challenge you to begin to sit and listen. Disengage. Cell phone off. TV off. Music off. Sit and listen. Meditate. Wait on God. Allow Him to begin to speak into your life or to recall Scripture to you or to put in you impressions or a leading to go or to do a certain thing a certain way. But it's imperative that you develop that fellowship with Him. Then we see in verse 7 through 9 where David's desires towards God are expressed. You see, when we come to Him, we need to come into His courts with thanksgiving and praise and an adoration of who He is, not just what He's done, but who He is. Did you know the Word of God says of our Lord that He's a jealous God, that He'll share His glory with no one? He doesn't play second string. And He wants us to get to that place where we pay due reverence and respect and adoration that He so justly deserves. In fact, do you know what the Word says about that? That if we don't praise Him, what's going to happen, Jeff? The rocks are going to cry out and praise Him. I don't want no rock taking my place. And lastly, no, it ain't lastly. But verse 10, I forgot I jotted me another point down on the back. Verse 10, David expresses his expectations from God. Ultimately, it all comes down here in verse 10 where he says, when my father and my mother, they're usually the last ones in the world to forsake you. But when my mother and my father have forsaken me, what does he say? Then the Lord will take care of me. We've got to begin to have those kind of expectations of God. I tried to sing a song in here, or quote the words of a song in here a few weeks ago, and I'm going to try it again. If anybody knows them, tell them to me. But one line of it is, I anticipate the inevitable, supernatural intervention of God. I expect a miracle. Do you expect God to show up and show out in your life? You know that Jesus said of himself, he could do no great miracle in his own hometown. Why? Not because he was not as powerful there as he was anywhere else. Because he was. But he could do no great miracle in his own hometown because of their unbelief or their lack of expectation. The Lord wants us to prove him. The Lord wants us to call upon his name and watch him show us great and mighty things. Oh, I love the scripture where it says, the eyes of the Lord roam to and fro throughout the whole earth among his people looking for someone. See, not all of his people let him. But he's looking for someone that will let him show himself mighty and strong upon their behalf. Will you let him? Will you dare to expect him to intervene? Will you dare to expect him to do the miraculous? Or will you listen to the naysayers? Will you listen to those that don't believe that he's the same yesterday and today and forever? He's not grown old, weak, feeble, and senile. He's the same. Anything he's ever been able to do, he can do today. And we'll be able to do it tomorrow. But we limit him. Let's take the limits off of God in our personal life and in our relationships and in our businesses and in our marriages. Let's take the restraints off of him and begin to see the Lord lead us and guide us and direct us and speak into our lives and show us and to demonstrate and to show out in our lives. Next, in verse 13, we see David's faith. I want you to listen to this. I would have lost heart. Now I'm reading from the New King James Version tonight. But I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That means right here on planet Earth. That means in the right now time in which we live. Not just in the sweet by and by, not just someday over yonder, but today, in this earth, in this place where I live, I can begin to believe that I will see the glory and the goodness and the strength and the power and the might of God in the land of the living while I'm on this earth, on this side of glory. I'm not going to limit him. Now I want to close with his instructions to us in verse 14. Wait, be he, and wait. Wait on the Lord. Quit doing things in your own strength, in your own might, in your own ability. Be of good courage. Be strong and very courageous. Go study the book of Daniel, especially in that first chapter. I know first chapter, I think it's the first two chapters, how many times the Lord told him, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. Goes back to what I started out with. We've got to be strong and of good courage. But he says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's his instructions to us. Now, most of us have a tendency, I'm going to use a visual. Most of us have a tendency to believe that waiting Am I telling the truth? How about this? Wish I had a towel. Now, Mr. Sonny, I know you ain't the Lord, but I'm going to act like it tonight. Yes, Lord. Oh, you need a little more study time? Yes, sir. I'll do that. Yes, Lord. Oh, you want me to worship and praise you a little more? Yes, sir. Oh, you want me to spend more time in prayer? Yes, sir. Changes the perspective of waiting, doesn't it? And when we do that, then we understand the scripture that says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll run and not be weary. They'll walk and not faint. Why? Because you've been in the presence of the Lord waiting on Him, getting instructions from here, hearing Him what He has to say. And then as you become obedient to what He speaks and what He says, He'll empower you to accomplish things that you never could on your own. Would you bow your head for just a moment?